So our reading is from Joshua 4, verses 1 to 13 and 20 to the end, and it's on page 218. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the Ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed, in front of the Israelites, as Moses directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. And to verse 20. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just as he had done to the Red Sea, when he dried it up before us when we crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'"
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that your word speaks to us as relevantly tonight as it does, has done down the ages. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I pray you to speak to us, Lord, from your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're visiting us tonight, we're in a study in the book of Joshua, and we're carrying on in the next few weeks. So tonight, chapter 4, and the title of my talk tonight is "Remember, Don't Forget What God Has Done." Now imagine it, on the first PowerPoint, the River Jordan, here it is in flood. And there's another photograph as well. So when the River Jordan's in flood, it's a pretty challenging place to cross. And imagine in the situation, Joshua, the people of Israel, they've finally come to cross into the land that God promised them. You have to cross it with all your sheep and all your tents. And if you've ever dealt with a wet tent, that's not fun. And those who are about to go to Focus next week, we'll be looking forward for the weather to change and stay the same. Is it going to stay the same, Jacob? You know, wet tents. We've had a few years where we've had to deal with wet tents. It's not a great thing. But they have to cross over the Jordan. It's too deep. It's dangerous. But God has told the people, "You have to go. Now is the time. Go for it." Now, if you weren't here last week on our podcast, listen to Owen's talk. It gives us the story just before this. It was about how the people were told to step out to see God at work. And the priests stepped into the water with the ark, and whilst they stepped in the water with the Ark of the Covenant, the waters parted, and the people passed across. Mirroring what happened in the Red Sea a few years before. Extraordinary time. Extraordinary things. God calls the people again to faith. But there's one more part to the story. And we come to that this evening. Each tribe was told to lift a stone to build a monument on the other side. A lasting monument to what God had done. Why? Why? Why should they do this? Why lift these stones and place them on the other side? Because God wanted them to remember what he had done for them. He didn't want them to forget this moment. You see, we all need to remember because we're so quick to forget. We all need to remember because we're so quick to forget. There are two words that occur a surprising number of times in the Bible, and they are these two words, remember and forget. Remember and forget. It's important to remember. It's easy to forget. I'll never forget, maybe 10, 12, 13 years ago, our good friend Andrea, who's a vicar over in Rochester, came to speak at this evening service. And it's not, I don't often remember talks 2 weeks before, never mind 12 years before. So it was obviously a good one that night. And because of what she did that night, and she started off by saying, how many of you know anything about your great-grandparents? And there were about three hands sort of went up. And I'm not going to ask you that. Just think about it. A few hands went up in the congregation. And we suddenly realized, goodness me, that's only two. That's not that long ago. And we've forgotten them. And I was racking, I think I know the names of my great-grandparents. I don't really know much about them, except I think they probably were farmers. Certainly don't know much about them on my mother's side. And then she just said, you know, we get forgotten very quickly. And the next thing she just talked about was the fact that life is short. And she got us all to think and be quiet about our breathing and just, you know, think about the next breath you take and the next breath you take. And she said, you know, that's what's keeping you alive and going. If your heart was to suddenly stop functioning, there'd be no more breaths. And she was talking about how fragile life is and how quickly we've forgotten in terms of eternity. We love to think we're so important, you know, the latest thing tomorrow in the newspaper, so important. How quickly today's news is forgotten. So it's very easy to forget, isn't it? Very easy to forget. And one of the things that defines us is our memories. And memories, I believe, define our faith. If we forget what God has done, we forget who he is. So the Bible is always encouraging us to remember him. The children of Israel, the people of Israel, they were good at forgetting. Just think about their story for a moment. They're in slavery in Egypt. They were being beaten and oppressed and forced into hard labor. And God, in the most dramatic way in Exodus, delivers them from their slavery. Extraordinarily. I mean, the story is an amazing story. It's a great story. I mean, if you've been part of that, how could you forget what God had done? He delivered you from these oppressive leaders and from their country. He delivers you from them. But you know it, as they struggled in the desert, having come through the Red Sea, soon they forget how awful it was in Egypt. And they're wishing that they're back there. They've forgotten God's great deliverance. So they send spies into the land God promised to give them. And hearing their reports, they said, this is too hard for us. We can't do this. They'd forgotten how great God was. That he'd overcome the Egyptian armies and Pharaoh. And now they felt they couldn't go forward because they'd forgotten God's greatness. And so for 40 years, they wandered about in quite a small area in the wilderness. And they couldn't take the land. But one of the things that happens in that time is that God begins to teach them to depend on Him. Until they're ready to go into the land. Many don't see the promised land because of their unbelief and their sin. But now, the people, those who remain, and their next generations are ready to cross the Jordan. And this is where we come to our story last week and again this week. The people are ready to enter the promised land. Again, the waters have been parted, and God has made a way for them to take hold of all that was promised to them. You might expect the Israelites to charge in and immediately take the city of Jericho, where we're going to come to next week. But no, first of all, God says, stop. Just remember, at this point, before you go forward, having crossed through, I want you to stop and remember. He tells them at the end of the chapter, they need to remember the fear of the Lord. Remember the fear of the Lord. That's not remember how scary and oppressive God is. That's just remember God's greatness before you go forward. Don't forget this moment as you walk through this raging river. This is God who's doing this. Almighty God. Remember the fear of the Lord. And as we remember the fear of the Lord, we will step forward. We'll keep stepping forward into the things that God is calling us to as His people. Because the fear, knowing the fear of the Lord in our lives in a right sense, His greatness, reverence for Him, acknowledging Him as God, when we know that is our God who loves us so much, then our fear of the future evaporates. We are delivered from that fear. But if we lose a sense of God's greatness and a right fear of Him, we are in danger and tempted to do things in our own strength. So as the story tells us, Joshua selects 12 men to represent the 12 tribes of Israel to go where the priests were standing, holding the ark in the middle of this raging river which has been stopped and a path has been made, and to collect a large stone and bring it to the other side. The ark was a sign of God's presence, where the Israelites believed the presence of God was. So God's presence was with them in the midst of the river, and they walk and they take a stone and they place it on the other side to create a visible memorial of what God had done for them, to tell future generations as a sign of God's goodness and greatness. And it was interesting, it wasn't just Joshua who gathered up all the stones. Each member of the tribes took a stone so that everyone would remember. No one would forget what God had done. So this evening, what about us? What are we to remember? What have we got to remember? Well, actually, we've already had some wonderful things this evening to remember this week. In the past couple of weeks, of God's goodness. What have we got to remember in a greater sense? The next slide, please. Out of His great love, God has made a way for you and I to be set free, to know Him. Set free from the mess in our lives which keeps us apart from God, the sin that keeps us apart from Him. We're set free to serve and follow Jesus. These Old Testament passages, why do we read them? Because they often point us forward to the gospel message of what Jesus has done for us. What God has done for us in Christ. You see, God has delivered us. We're set free. We have hope. Life in its fullness is promised to you and I. He's reached down to us. He's rescued us from the destructive consequences of sin. Through his death on the cross, he has opened the way. Just like the way of the River Jordan was opened to the people of Israel. God has opened a way for you and I to know him. We can't know him any other way unless he opens the way to us. You can't get there on your own. It has to be God who opens that way. There's no way to cross over to know him unless he does it. And his death on the cross opened the way for you and I. His risen, rising from the dead, confirming his greatness and that freedom and that power. He's given us the opportunity to be forgiven, to know him as our Father and our friend. The risen Lord promises to walk with us day after day, to speak to us, to restore us, and give us hope. Timothy says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Remember Jesus, raised from the dead. So these stories are pictures of what we know to be true, of God's love for us and what he's done for us. Remember, don't forget the stories. Remember. How? How do we remember? What are some of the stones that Jesus, in a sense, gives for us to remember? Come and think just for a minute. What things help you remember the few things God has done for you? Paula.
Like things like when I've got the whole family together, and or even today we had a ride in Richmond with all the boys, yesterday at the beach with the kids, last week my whole seven kids and all seven grandkids and family were together, and it helps me to remember how far God has brought me with that mess of my life. To such amazing, it's just that couldn't be done without God.
That's fantastic. So the story of God's work in people's lives and people, yeah, absolutely. Anything else that helps you remember when you're tempted or helpless and forget? Write it down, yeah. So exactly, one of the things I'm going to talk about in a minute, journaling. So stories of things that are really important, writing them down. I've got quite a few over the years. And I can still go back to some of those stories with the date. And it's amazing to go back and read what I wrote at the time. Yeah. Anything else helps you remember? Claire?
I saw this sunrise and it was quite amazing. And yeah. Then someone had a picture that actually the sunrise is like God shining on, so without the sun it just looks ordinary, but it's the light coming in. And I think it's sometimes it's remembering when I look and see a sunrise or these things come back.
So creation, absolutely. So just the beauty of that, where we live, creation, absolutely. God often speaks and reminds me personally of his goodness. Anything else? So what we're going to do in a few moments, actually one of the most important symbols and pictures blessed by God as a way of really bringing alive again the knowledge of what he's done for us. And communion is a very powerful thing. It's not just reminding us of something in the past. There's a present power. I want you to really understand this. Maybe as you come to communion tonight, particularly, there's present power as we take bread and wine. Don't ever do it lightly or glibly, because there's power in those symbols. The body of Christ broken. Jesus did that as he stood with his disciples before he died. This is my body given for me. Given for you, sorry. Given for you. My blood shed for you. It's a very powerful God-ordained picture. And there's a present power as we take you. God, it's like we're fed and ministered to in a very special way. When we take communion, we remember that we are ministered to in the present. But it's a really important, and it's one of those things in the church, in an Anglican church, every week, somewhere, you can come and receive communion as a means of remembering the love of God for you in Christ. In all sorts of traditions in the Church of England, in different ways, that same picture is used, and it's a powerful thing. So two of the things I have on my list to be said, journaling, write down. You know, take time to write down what God has done for you. I've been praying with somebody for 17 years, every 6 weeks. There's a chap I know who works in London. And when we started out here in Richmond 19 years ago, it was within a year he came to speak. And after he came for supper. And I'd been looking for somebody slightly older who I could meet with and just pray with and, you know, have a bit of support and mentoring. And this chap and I still meet. And I said, probably close to 18 years. And he keeps a diary of all the things that we've prayed about. And he's got, I think, about 8 or 9 of these large A4 full of our requests over those years. And sometimes we just go by and say, isn't that amazing what God did then? And then, and then. And here's the, and he writes down often when the answers of those prayers. And it's a very, and that's a really thing I'd really encourage you to, you know, if you're praying for things, write down your prayer requests and maybe just underline them. And when those prayers are answered, go back to them for a big tick or just something to acknowledge God, he heard that prayer. Because it's not just about the past, but it's also stirring us to keep praying. Journaling, such an important thing. Holy Communion, which we're going to come to in a moment. Telling stories, what we've done already tonight. Telling stories. I mean, I think that's such an important thing. And it encourages one another when we do what we've done tonight. And people say, you know, this week, a verse I've been thinking about, Daniel said, I've remembered it. It's so good to remember that verse and share it with other people. Or just something that's happened simply. Because when we tell stories, faith rises and culture changes. We start to believe in what we hear. We start to, I think we live out even more effectively the Christian life because we hear and are encouraged to do the same ourselves. Kate's going to tell a story from the past. It's a great story. Just to encourage you tonight, lots of stories, but one of them which I love.
Okay, so we were on holiday I was on holiday in Kenya. It was actually the trip that I met Trevor, and I was, 22, 23?
Just a few years ago.
So it's just a while. And I was with a group of friends, and we went out and we were camping in the bush. And one of the guys who was there was grown up in Kenya, and he was full of dreadful stories about things that had happened to him camping. He was deliberately running this all up, and he told us about this story of when he'd been in Amboseli Game Park. And they'd left food in the tent, and an elephant had picked up this tent with these two big 6-foot guys in, hurled it, and then he'd been thrown out of the tent, and the elephant had stood on his shoulder and cracked his clavicle. So I was like, we don't have any food in our tent. And we were camped in this kind of horseshoe, and suddenly my brother is there, and one of them says, oh, there's an elephant nearby. And usually elephants don't actually hurt people unless there is food around, but this elephant's been really noisy, and they are actually able to walk over twigs without breaking them. So if they're noisy, it's not a good sign. And so there's this elephant stomping around, and the guy Colin, who sort of, you know, was taking us all there, said, just everybody in your tents, it'll be fine. So I'm in my tent, this girl Polly. And suddenly, my brother and another lad, Pete, were in this other tent. I just hear the most almighty crash. And this elephant had just sheared through the aluminium pole that was near the top of the tent my brother was in, and Colin's going, everybody out of your tents now, and I'm trying to leave, get Polly out. I can really remember it all so vividly, and this great starlit night. And it looks like the elephant standing on the tent that my brother was in. And Colin, who's quite a big guy, 6 foot guy, it is looking so tiny compared to this elephant. And he's just striding towards the elephant going, in the name of Jesus, you leave now. And the elephant did just turn around and left. I didn't sleep actually that much that night. But the next day, it was a rogue elephant that had gone a bit mad and had been involved in trampling some tents and people. So it was actually a really dangerous situation. And the wardens came in and they killed this elephant. So it was a kind of unforgettable story that I had nearly forgotten, interestingly.
Stories are really, really important. And I just think, that your story may not be as dramatic, but there are just different points when certain stories are so important to us. Don't forget them. Don't forget the moment when God has answered your prayer and you know it. Don't forget when that relationship was reconciled. Don't forget that moment you took your first steps of faith and you knew the change in your heart. Don't forget. Don't forget how good God is. Don't forget what the gospel tells us about his love for us, his love for each of us tonight. And that this picture from the story tonight is a picture of what God wants to do for you and I, to clear the way, so that we can be close to him and know him. By his presence to walk through us, whatever the storms are being thrown at us, so that we have a clear way to the Father, knowing his presence with us. And I want to finish tonight by just something a little more tangible. Can I tell you this evening about rosemary? When I'm talking about rosemary, I'm not talking about the person, I'm talking about the herb. Okay? I don't know, this is something I've just discovered. You may know this, but this is something I discovered just this weekend. Kate discovered it, maybe she's known before. But this is something about rosemary, which I hope will help you this week remember this talk and remember God's goodness. English folklore advises slipping rosemary into the pocket of an errant lover helps them remember their vows, while Ophelia confirmed the herb is for remembrance in Shakespeare's Hamlet. Now scientists have shown the plant really is linked to better memory. A study of pensioners found that simply being in a room diffused with the smell of rosemary boosted memory tests by 15%. There we are. And it might not seem much, but academics at the University of Northumbria say it could mean the difference between remembering to take medications or not, which could prove life-saving. To test it, it had the impact on older people. They did a research, and the researchers randomly allocated 150 pensioners to a room scented with rosemary, lavender, or no aroma. And then they were asked to pass on a message at a given time during the procedure and to swap tasks at a specific time to test their memory. Those in the rosemary room were found to perform far better on the memory tests than the other two. So rosemary apparently helps memory. I don't know if it does or not. Anyhow, it's a good story. But what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to ask you to take a piece of rosemary, stick it in your pocket, smells great, or maybe beside your bed or somewhere. The point is to remember, okay? To remember tonight, tonight's talk, but most importantly, remember that God loves you. He's precious in his sight, he gave his life for you. He wants to deliver you from the mess you're in and bring you into all he has for you in Christ. He wants you to know he'll never leave you or forsake you. And whatever you face this week, it's not too hard for him. He'll walk with you. He won't leave you. The Bible's full of promises. He says, don't be afraid. I'm with you. So remember.
don't forget. And to help you remember, take a piece of bread. And put it in the gates of our garden. Goes along, so roast lamb, yeah. So I want to finish with a couple of verses from the passage tonight. Joshua said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when it dried up before us until he had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so you might always fear the Lord your God.'" Let's stand for a moment. We're going to come to communion in a moment. And just as we come to this important act of remembrance, I want to encourage you to remember what Jesus has done for you. His life laid down for you. His body broken for you, his blood shed, that you might have life. And welcome the Lord to meet you as you receive bread and wine tonight.